Hello, welcome to Windows Developer Day for the Creators Update. I'm Kevin Gallo, and I'm responsible for the platform and tools used to build apps for Windows. I am so excited to tell you all about the developer-focused features coming in the Creators Update. You can try it out today using the latest SDK, which is now what we call Feature Complete. Before we jump into the details, though, I'd like to welcome Terry Meyerson to talk about the opportunity at the Windows ecosystem provides developers.
Thank you, Kevin. Just let me start off by also welcoming developers all around the world watching this webcast and here in this room. This is such an important community for all of us at Microsoft and especially Windows. We share this passion to create new experiences with technology, to just create with the best tools, the best tech, to empower people and organizations all over the world. And that common goal, that common mission we share, it's just incredibly energizing for all of us here today and every day as we build Windows for you. Now, Windows 10, it's off to the fastest start in Windows history. We now have over 400 million users all around the world. This is consumers, people in schools, people in the enterprise. They're doing all kinds of new things. PC gaming is taking off. 6 billion hours of PC gaming just in the last quarter. Pen usage is up 50% in the same time frame. It's just an incredible pace of adoption, and not just the core platform, but new innovations on Windows 10. And of course, with each iteration of Windows 10, we're updating that installed base so that people can take advantage of these new, developers like yourselves can take advantage of these new platform technologies. And of course, our next step is the Creators Update. I will say choosing this name, the Creators Update, was actually a journey. It was sort of one of those moments where you're like, how are we going to capture what we're really doing with our developer community, with the users? What is this common thing that we all do together on Windows? And this video we created really captures the essence of the Creators Update.
The spirit of creativity lives in all of us. It compels us to move forward. So tell me, do you love somewhere?
I paint with colors.
I paint with numbers.
I paint with words.
I sculpt in 3D.
I sculpt in code.
I sculpt young minds to go further.
I design skyscrapers.
I design new worlds.
I share ideas.
I share experiences.
I compose symphonies of music.
I compose symphonies of science.
What we create is more than just our work. It is our passion. Microsoft helps you turn that passion into reality with technology that is personal, natural, and intuitive. So nothing comes between you and your ideas. Welcome to a world where every person is empowered to achieve more. So tell me, do you love somewhere? And every idea can make an impact.
So personally, I just find that video so energizing to see all those people using technology, using applications from our developer community on modern hardware to just create incredible things. This Creators Update really does break new ground for Windows. We are enabling people to capture, create, print, and share in 3D. We're enabling these very inexpensive mixed reality headsets that we expect to see from HP, Dell, Lenovo, Asus, and Acer here very soon. We're enabling these live video game broadcasts for all of the players out there and enabling viewers to interact with the players. We're enabling all of this video and interactive creativity in 4K. And there's so much more from Cortana to inking and security And I just can't wait to get it out there with your applications to over 400 million people around the world. And of course, our next step is build. I can't wait to see all of you there, meet with you, and build this incredible community. Now, whether that's physically you can make it there or virtually online, it's just will be an incredible moment for all of us. Of course, but that's after today. First, let's get into today. And please let me welcome back Kevin to get into the depths of what the Creators Update has for you. Thanks.
Thanks, Terry. As you can see, Windows 10 gives developers reach to a wide ecosystem of devices and technologies, from desktop PCs through phones and IoT to mixed reality headsets and the Xbox. The Windows platform provides all the technology and tools that developers need to write engaging applications. With a single app, developers can reach all of the Windows devices with a highly tailored experience. Now, each of you is an essential part of the Windows community. And from my point of view, how we work together is as important as what we build together. With that in mind, we'll first talk about how your applications can fully exploit the power of the Windows platform. Next, some of the new innovative experiences that allow you to express your creativity. And I'll finish up with some updates to our dev tooling. Let's start with how one of the most well-known software companies has used the Universal Windows platform to build a full-featured desktop application that fully exploits the power of Windows. Let me introduce Vincent Hardy from Adobe.
Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Seattle. Good morning, everybody online. I believe there's a lot of you online. It's a real pleasure to be here to talk about Adobe XD. Adobe XD is all about designing great user experiences. So we allow our designers to design, prototype, and share their work with their stakeholders and collaborators. It's available on multiple platforms. So we have it on desktop. That's where you actually do the authoring part. We have it on mobile. That's where the designers can actually experience in context the work they're doing. And we have it available on the web. And that's where the designers can actually share and get feedback from their collaborators. From the very beginning, when we started on the journey for Adobe XD, we decided that we wanted to make it the best it could be on every platform we would bring it to. That means we would make it special. And making it special on every platform means a couple things. It means the best user experience. Of course, we're all about user experience, so we would tailor it for each platform's experience. It would mean the best performance. We want it to be buttery smooth, like we say in the team, so that people can go through their day without friction. And we wanted to make it as well integrated into a host environment as possible. We wanted it to feel natural on every single platform. So when it came to Windows, the natural choice rapidly became the Universal Windows platform. Let me show you how it looks. So here, you're seeing the main design space for Adobe XD. So that's the main app. And to the right, the little window you see is a preview of the content the designer has created. So here we're starting from a design where you've got multiple screens of an app called Dishi App. It's about food. And the designer has created all the visuals here. So in the environment, you'll notice first that it's very streamlined and very simple. So that's our focus on making simple things easy, making repetitive tasks easy as well. For example, I'm just adjusting something like the padding. And it's a powerful tool, the repeat grid. And you see this update real time on the right-hand side. I can experience the interactivity here, so I can go back to the home screen. And see how it behaves. So if I go to my wiring here with the screen selected, I see all the interactivity that starts from the home screen. In particular, I have this button here. If I click on it on my preview window, I navigate down to that screen. Now, right now, actually, I don't have any way to navigate back to my home screen. If I want to fix something like this, I would simply go here, grab a little handle to wire a new interaction. And as soon as I've done that, I could configure it more, but it's already live in my preview window, and it lets me navigate back. So you know, this is, in a nutshell, what the application is about, right? You're able to design, you're able to prototype the interactivity, you're able to preview it. The other piece is that you could preview it in your mobile device, and then when you're done with this, you could actually share it with your stakeholders so that they can experience what you've created in a web application. So that's Adobe XD on the Universal Windows platform. We've shipped the first version in December, and now we're shipping monthly. So we had another one in January. We have another one coming this month. This is because our focus is on performance and quality first, and then we're incrementally adding features as we go every month to bring more value to our users. So far, the response for our users is very encouraging, as you can see some of those quotes and tweets on the screen, including on the Universal Windows platform. So it's encouraging, and we're very excited with what is coming next. But before I talk about what's coming next, I want to share our journey on the Universal Windows platform. There are a couple key takeaways for us. So the first thing is when we set out to build on a new platform, because Adobe XD is the first Adobe app that will run on Universal Windows platform, we first looked at all the capabilities of the platform. Like, could we push the boundaries, have all the graphics we need? On the screen, like I shared, there's tons of graphical objects, and you need to be able to zoom in and out really quickly. You need to have really great performance. So we looked at that, and we've successfully built the application. At times, we've pushed the boundaries, for example, on text editing support with a component called Rich Edit Box. But we've worked with Microsoft to add the few APIs that we were missing, and they're going to surface in our monthly updates as we go. The second thing that we put our minds around was the application model, the life cycle, the Universal Windows platform encourages apps to have a very collaborative attitude towards the operating system so that you don't, keep all the resources to you when you're not in the forefront and you're not the main thing the users have. I personally think this is a great idea because this is what will deliver to our users the best experience in the operating system when they're in XD and when they're not in XD as well. So we have to do work for that. In an app like ours, it's a big, pro app. We've been working again with Microsoft to design this in the right way so that the suspend resume cycles work smoothly and the users don't have surprises like they're under reduced tax not working and things like this. So again, those are big meaty problems for the better of the user experience on the platform. And then finally, like many software vendors, Adobe has been doing Windows development for quite a while, and we have other apps like Photoshop and Illustrator, and they're part of our own suite of apps, and Adobe XD participates in collaborating with those apps. So we have core components that we share, and those are not all UWP yet because those other apps have not moved to UWP yet. So we had to find a solution to actually get those existing components for things like identity, analytics, or entitlements to actually work with our UWP app. So thanks to Sentinel Technologies, we've been able to actually bridge those two worlds and get our UWP app to work with our existing core Win32 components and participate in our suite of applications. So now what's next for Adobe XD? So there are a couple things that are in the works and I'm very excited about. One of them is we're looking at moving our core component I just talked about to support UWP so as to enable more applications on the platform. And then in the spirit of making the application the best it can be on each platform we bring it to, on Windows, that means we're going to do more work on touch, pen support, surface dial. I think this is all very exciting to actually enhance the experience when you create in our tool. And then finally, XD is really meant to help our designers through their day so that they have a frictionless day and a great experience all around. And that's not only the design experience, but it's also the way they're going to collaborate with their colleagues and stakeholders. One of the very important stakeholders is the developer, because they are on the receiving end of the design they create, and they're the ones who are responsible for making them a reality. So we already have some features in the solution, but we want to do more going forward. So stay tuned on that. You'll see more coming from us. And in the meanwhile, if you want to check out what we're doing, go to xd.adobe.com. You can actually try Adobe XD, see what it does, and we'd be thrilled to have all of your feedback. With that, thank you very much.
Thanks, Vincent. Thanks, Vincent. What a great application they've built there. It's exciting. So UWP isn't just about mobile apps or mixed reality apps or Xbox apps. UWP is about taking full advantage of the power of a desktop PC while still being able to build for all Windows devices. Now, to take advantage of all these UWP capabilities, many of you will want to start from an existing technology. For example, WinForms, WPF, or .NET. Using the desktop bridge, we've made it easy to call UWP APIs from your existing desktop applications. First, we're continuing to expand the APIs available to the Universal Windows platform, including many of the most commonly used Win32 and .NET APIs. This makes it even easier to share code that you've already written for Windows 7. At the same time, using the desktop bridge, your existing Win32 applications can call all the UWP APIs. We're making it easy for applications to share code between Win32, .NET, and UWP. Now, we launched the desktop bridge along with the anniversary update last year, and I'm delighted to say that many developers and publishers have chosen to adopt it, both to access all these UWP APIs and, of course, to submit their applications to the Windows Store. We launched last September, and we've seen apps from all categories take advantage of the desktop bridge, from education to creativity apps, communication, media, and games. I want to look at three app publishers to see what benefits they got from this technology. We all want our users to be running the most recent version of our apps. However, we all know that's hard. Pop-ups asking people to upgrade get ignored, and then who wants to see all of that from every app? Well, we all end up with a fragmented user base. UWP and the Windows Store fixes that. Evernote submitted their app to the Windows Store, and now their users are always up to date and with no pop-ups. So you get a better user experience and an updated user base, win-win for everyone. Photoscape X Pro chose to put their app in the Windows Store using the desktop bridge to increase their revenue. We've added numerous monetization models to the Windows Store, specifically for desktop apps and publishers. Kodi, a highly popular media app, used the desktop bridge to publish to the Windows Store. They are so happy with the increased engagement that they are now moving their entire code base to UWP. Since they're an open source project, we all get to see, learn, and contribute. Once it's UWP, they plan to publish it on the Xbox too. That is the power of having one platform. One of the things I love about software development process is that we can build the platform together as one community. Now, we've been doing that for a while, but I want to take it to the next level. First, let's look at our developer documentation. Now, it may seem mundane, but realistically, it's the window to our platform. It's the first thing most of you see. Today, I'm delighted to announce that we are bringing together all of Microsoft's developer documentation in one place, docs.microsoft.com. At the same time, we are opening up our documentation so that our entire developer community can contribute to it. Great, huh? Well, did you ever feel that your feedback kind of went into a black hole and you never knew what happened after you submitted it? Well, not anymore. Today, we're making public our backlog, both bugs and features. You can both see what we're working on and you can help us prioritize what we do. We pioneered this with our web platform a couple of years ago, and it's been so successful that we're expanding it to the app platform as well. I believe it is vital for the Universal Windows platform to meet the needs of our enterprise customers. A big part of building great business applications is having a rich set of easy-to-use UI controls optimized for the enterprise. To talk about that more, I'd like to welcome Todd Anglin to share what Telerik is doing for the UWP ecosystem.
Thanks, Kevin, and good morning. As Kevin said, my name is Todd Anglin, and I'm chief evangelist for Telerik. And at Progress, for the last decade, we've been creating the industry's leading UI tools. We create the kind of UI tools that line of business developers need to create amazing apps, from our original UI tools for ASP.NET to modern UI like Kendo UI, ASP.NET Core, and UWP. Telerik UI is found in more than 90% of the Fortune 500 today, powering the apps that their users use. Now, over the years, UI has changed quite a bit, from new forms of input like touch and ink, things we've seen today, to radically new UI concepts like the ribbon bar, tile views, even the radial menu. The challenge line of business developers have in the enterprise is, how do we put these new UI concepts into our apps? How do we do it quickly? How do we do it productively? At Progress, we like to think that Telerik UI tools make this pretty easy to do. That's what we do for developers, and we've been doing it, and we hope you enjoy it. Now, I'm pretty excited to be here today because we've been working with Kevin's team at Microsoft for a while to help make the next generation of .NET app development, line of business enterprise app development, even more powerful. UWP offers developers an opportunity to unlock the full power of Windows and build amazing apps and reach the breadth of Windows devices on desktop, mobile, HoloLens, Xbox. And Telerik UI for UWP offers a complete collection of those UI tools developers need to build those modern apps quickly and productively. In fact, UI for UWP is already used by thousands of developers around the world, and it's one of the top 10 most used components across the Windows app catalog today. Now, we're pleased that UI for UWP has been so helpful for developers up to this point, but we've been working with Microsoft, and we think we can do more. Kevin talked about the importance of collaborating in an open community, and at Progress, we agree that that's important to how apps are built. So I'm here today to share that today, all of UI for UWP is now free and open source. All of the controls, all of the source code available today on GitHub and NuGet, more than 20 powerful line of business UI tools, including charts, gauges, and of course, the ever necessary and classic data grid. You'll need that, trust me. We hope you'll join us to work on this. Check it out on telerik.com/UWP and help us make the future of app development as productive as the past and build some amazing apps with UI from Telerik. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd. That is awesome. All these controls are now available as NuGet packages, and it's all open source. Both Todd and I are looking forward to your contributions as well. I know they're going to make your apps even better. Now, Windows is constantly evolving to allow developers to take advantage of new innovations, whether lighting up APIs to harness new hardware capabilities or introducing new intelligent services, we aspire to make these easy to use and approachable to all developers. Today, I want to highlight a few of the most exciting ones, or at least the ones I find most exciting. There's a lot of other ones too. Let's start with mixed reality, which seems to be taking the world by storm. We already have a mixed reality platform in Windows 10 designed for HoloLens that now extends to all Windows mixed reality headsets too. This platform enables you to develop 3D applications and games, whether for augmented and virtual reality combined or just in the enclosed VR world. A UWP app built for HoloLens can be easily adapted to run as an immersive app on Windows mixed reality headsets coming later this year. We're going to use Galaxy Explorer, one of our most popular HoloLens apps, as an example. Let's take a quick look at that project on HoloLens.
Shortly before launching Microsoft HoloLens, we asked the community what you would like to see us build. After submitting over 5,000 ideas, you voted for Galaxy Explorer, an app that lets you explore the galaxy in mixed reality. We spent 6 weeks developing Galaxy Explorer and documenting the journey. When the project was finished, we released the source code on GitHub, so you could use it directly in your own projects and contribute back. As the Windows mixed reality story continues, so does our work on Galaxy Explorer.
Great application. Now, because HoloLens and the upcoming mixed reality headsets both share the same Universal Windows platform, an app built for HoloLens like Galaxy Explorer can also run as an immersive experience on any Windows mixed reality headset. You can build apps to take advantage of the wide spectrum of Windows mixed reality headsets, from the see-through lenses and spatial mapping HoloLens to occluded headsets from Acer, Asus, Dell, HP, 3 Glasses, and even the one you see here from Lenovo. These partner headsets will start in the $300 range, so your mixed reality app can reach more users than ever before. And now, to show you how to adapt Galaxy Explorer for occluded mixed reality headsets, I'd like to introduce Amy Gianetti.
Thank you, Kevin. So, we should have a video right now. But I guess... there we go. So, in this video, you can see exactly that. The Galaxy Explorer app running on a mixed reality occluded headset, recorded from our office. But of course, there are a few differences between the HoloLens and these occluded headsets. So there are a few changes that we had to make the application. So number one, because of the different display technologies, we had to scale the size of the text assets to make the text more legible. Number two, we adjusted the brightness of some of the assets because on an occluded headset, most of the ambient light is blocked out and your eyes have adjusted to a darker environment. And number three, on an occluded headset, you can't see the world around you. So we added a star-filled background and a floor plane to help the user feel grounded in this more immersive experience. Now, scaling text assets and brightness is pretty straightforward, so we won't go into those in depth, but let's take a deeper look at that last point in more detail. So here I have the Galaxy Explorer project open in Unity, and I've selected the Platform Manager object. Now, this is an object that you'll want to add to your project to help it adjust to the device it's running on. Because Galaxy Explorer is a UWP app, it can run on the HoloLens, Windows desktop, mobile, as well as these occluded headsets. So the script for this object is where you'll want to detect what device you're running on. In our case, we just want to know if the device we're running on is an occluded headset. So we've wrapped the query to the system to ask this in our Platform Manager. And we'll see an example of using this in just a moment. Back to Unity. Next, we'll take a look at the star-filled background. So as we saw in the earlier video, when running Galaxy Explorer on the HoloLens, you can still see the real world in the background. But on an occluded headset, this background is just black. And, well, that's rather boring and gives no sense of orientation for the user. To combat this, we've added the star-filled background to give the user some points of reference and make the background a bit more interesting. Taking a look at the code for this object, on initialization, we will query our world manager to see if the device we are running on is an occluded headset and set the object to active. Otherwise, we'll set it to inactive. And lastly, as I said before, when running this app on an occluded headset, you can no longer see the room and the floor around you. And particularly in this application, that can lead you to feel like you're falling through space. And let me tell you, that's not a fun feeling. So we added a play space manager to help with this. This Unity object has a floor quad component, and in this script, we will set it up. Similarly to the Starfield object, on startup, we will ask our platform manager if the device we are running on is an occluded headset, and if it is, we will set the object to active and initialize the floor plane. To initialize the floor plane, we'll just query the world manager for the real-world position of the floor, as well as the bounds of the space that the device is running in. And these details the world manager will know from the initial device setup. Then we'll use these values to set the position and scale of the floor quad object in Unity. Now, when the user looks down in the application, they will see this blue grid plane at the same height as their own floor. And that's it. It took only these three changes to get the Galaxy Explorer app running comfortably on both the HoloLens and mixed reality occluded headsets. Back to you, Kevin.
Thank you, Amy. The Universal Windows platform makes it easy to build an application that scales from HoloLens to other mixed reality headsets. So if you want to get ahead of the curve, start developing for HoloLens now. We'll have more to share on our plans for mixed reality headsets at GDC later this month. so stay tuned. Now, the way we interact with our devices is evolving at an astonishing pace, requiring hardware and software to work seamlessly together and intelligently. Ultimately, we as humans all want our experiences to be natural and engaging. We've invested heavily over the last decade on individual technologies like ink, touch, and speech. However, the magic happens when you bring together all of these innovations powered by AI. That's when we begin to truly understand user intent. You've now got the ability to use these input mechanisms simultaneously, so you can do things like change color or size of a brush through the surface dial while drawing with that brush using a pen. You can talk to your devices more and more conversationally. And you can step into the world of virtual reality where the world is controlled by your gaze. At the same time, we've made it much easier to apply effects and lighting, leading to even more engaging experiences. Cortana provides a rich canvas for deep engagement and an ever-growing set of users. So far, she's been asked over 13 billion questions. Can you imagine if your kids asked that many questions? Though, to be honest, it does feel that way some days. In December, we announced the Cortana Skills Kit as a way of teaching Cortana new skills. Cortana skills are easy to create and available across all Cortana-enabled devices. To create a Cortana skill, you can leverage skills built for many different other platforms. You can reuse VCDs, or you can use bots created using the Microsoft Bot Framework. The Cortana Skills Kit preview is available later this month. Now, I want to show you a demo that pulls all of these pieces together. So, you guys want to see some code?
Yeah.
Let's hop over and look at some code. So, I built an application. Northwind Photo is what I call it, and it's basically a photo kind of gallery that lets me create collages and stuff. So I'm going to launch it here. There's Visual Studio, the project's in there. I'm going to launch it, and you'll hopefully see some of the animations as it flowed in. That was probably a little fast, so I've added a cool little feature here, mainly for demo purposes, of course, where if I reshow it again, it'll come in slow motion. And you'll see many things are happening in a highly coordinated animation fashion, which at the end of the day might seem complex, but let me show you how much easier we've made. So what's happening here is each of the items are coming in one at a time. As they come in, they're both shrinking, and they're changing their scale, they're fading in there, and it's actually a drop shadow that's coming. And as I hover over them, they pop up, zoom in slightly with a nice little drop shadow. So let me show you how easy it was to add that into my application now. So here's where I initialize my container. So when that container comes up, so a couple simple things I do. I set my animations, I create my fade in, my fade out, my scale factor, so a bunch of parameters I go in and get from my designer that does, figures all that stuff and makes it look cool. Then I use a feature that we introduced already, which is I can group these together. So I can have single animation, single item to use as I have applied multiple effects, making it simple just to manage the animations. But here's a new feature that we've added. It's called implicit animations. So I can make it so that when a certain action happens or a certain attribute happens, like show or hide, it automatically applies all of these animations at the same time, making it very simple for me to go just say, I want to add these animations automatically on every item in the container. And with one line or two lines here, one for the show, one for the hide, I've now applied the animation to every item in the collection. Great, huh? Very simple to do. Now, sometimes it's not always the biggest features. I mean, that's a big feature of Fallible. It's the little things. One of the things I've been asked a lot for is, can my application simply pin something to start, prompt it versus the user doing it? So here we've added, you can see I put a little icon, a little pin. When I click on it, it just prompts the system and says, do you want to pin this tile to start? I can hit yes, go here to start, and you'll see it shows up here. Now I have a pin to start. Very, very simple to go do. Let me show you the code, because it's always fun to see the code. So hop over here to the function. So here's my click handler for the actual button that I created. I go and I take a look at my application. So I have the package. I know my package. I say, what's my identity? So I know which one to go pin. And then I just ask the Start Screen Manager to pin that tile. A few lines of code now. Great delighter. I know it'll make it easier for you to get your applications more visible to your user and even better. So let me hop over now. And one of my favorite new cool input devices is my Surface Dial. So I want to show you some of the features we've added and how you can use them in your applications even better. So in this application, obviously I have my gallery, but but I want to do some editing. I want to edit a photo, you know, and kind of, you know, make it my own. So what I've done is I clicked on the photo. You'll see that four circles showed up. Now, you say, well, those four circles, four, and then optimize four. When I lay my dial on them, all of a sudden now, this is now my menu. This controls updating that attribute. So I had contrast. So as I spin it, you see a couple things happening. I have a nice little effect here that says, okay, it's increasing, so the circle's getting bigger, and when it decreases, it goes down. And you can see, you know, it kind of changes the contrast. So it's not a huge visible. We'll go to exposure. This is much more obvious. So I click here again, the other menu item go away, and I can change, you know, wow, that changes contrast fast. So I've added this nice little feature that when I push, it changes the granularity. So rather than it changes by a large amount, now it changes by a small amount. It's so natural. You guys can't feel it, but for me, just push a little bit harder, and now I get more precision in the actual controller itself. And then I can go to saturation. You know, I'll decrease that a little bit, make it look a little more black and white. And then, just for effect, we'll do some blur so everybody thinks I don't know how to take pictures with cameras. My wife already knows that. No pictures allowed for Kevin. So cool, I did that. So let's go hop over and look at the code that we did to take advantage of all the great stuff on this Surface Studio where I can actually place the Surface dial on the device itself. So hop over here into my code. So first thing you'll notice here is a simple, I want to set up my dial control. I want to set it up so I can now get input from it. So basically some boilerplate stuff. One thing to note is I didn't show the default menu. Those of you that have used the dial before will notice that it has, you know, built, most of the time has a built-in menu that comes up. Well, I decided I didn't want that. I wanted to use the actual canvas of the device as my user interface because that was most natural for me as I'm creating and editing that photo. I suppressed that menu, and I hook up some default handlers here. Let's look what each of those do. So one here is screen contact started. This is when I place it on the screen itself. What I do is I first just say, okay, where did that happen? So I find the location it got placed, that comes in the sender, and then I just look and see which of the four circles was closest, and that's the one that I've selected. So what I do is I make that the selected control, and I decided to hide the other ones for effect. That was just my aesthetic and design. And then simply when it comes off the screen, there's no control selected, so if you spin it, nothing happens, and then it shows all the rings again. And then a couple handlers here, whenever I release the button, I remember I was when I push down, it's more high precision. When it's up, it's normal precision, so it's just normal precision. And then when I press it, I get, you know, high precision. And for me, when I push and hold, I also want it to have high precision. I don't want to be a push kind of effect. So I made sure when button's holding, it's also precise movement. And then move over here to rotation. So now when I'm spinning it, all I do is grab whatever the selected control is. If there's one, I increment the value that I'm changing on the actual object, and then I update it. Not a whole lot of code, but a great immersive user experience, better than anything out there on the market. Okay, I'm proud of my app. So, the next thing is now once you've kind of done your photo, it's kind of cool, what do you want to do with it? You want to share it. So we have a feature we've added in our UWP toolkit where we can very easily just post to Twitter. So I have this little tweet on the side over here. So I click that. Lets me have a name, my masterpiece, of course. I say tweet, and that will go and post it and, you know, tweet on my account right there. So I'll show you the code for that. So just pretty simple. When I press the button, it goes, initializes a connection with Twitter, logs into my account, gets the image stream, and sends it. Can't be any easier. Now you can go tweet things like your images easier than ever before using this control from the UWP toolkit. Now, let's move on and talk about some of our more advanced technology that's coming with our Ink platform. We've been making advances over the last few years more and more to be able to do things that are just awesome for the user. We've done a bunch with our Ink Presenter for drawing. Well, now we're adding more capability in our Ink Analysis. So let me show you this. I can go and start drawing a rectangle. And so when I've drawn the rectangle, it's kind of ugly because I'm kind of cutting collage, so I want to kind of piece things together. Well, if I push on the dial, I've made it so that it automatically recognizes the rectangle, draws one with a nice border around it. Actually, it's so smart that I can actually draw two rectangles, and it knows I drew two of them. So it disambiguates them and tells me there's two rectangles. And I didn't, you'll see the code, very little I did to take advantage of that. And I'll draw one more for my collage. So, you know, very easy. Let's hop over and look at the code that I used to get all that shape recognition. So, first thing I do here is create this new object called Ink Analyzer. This is what provides the magic, right? And then I'll go here, and when I navigate to my, you know, to my collage, I just hook up some basic default handlers here. I hook up being pressed on the radio controller and some basic stuff. Then I go here, which is really the meat of it, is every time I draw from my ink presenter, which is something we've introduced last year, you take all the strokes and just pass them to the ink analyzer. Then when I press on the radial dial, it does the analysis and converts that to rectangles. How that happens is it calls me back on this method saying, okay, I'm done doing the analysis, and it tells me what kind of objects can be a list of objects. And all I do is cycle over every object that it found. This is where it cycles over every object and find out what it is. I don't care about anything other than rectangles and squares, because yes, it does detect squares too versus a rectangle, so I want both of those. And I just go, I randomly pick a thickness. I don't know if you notice, they all just kind of changed. My design flair, not much. So I draw a nice little border around it. Of course, I have to add some implicit animations because it was easy. I added a couple here for fade in, fade out. I reused some of those objects that I had. And I get a nice effect for it. So very easy. I can use the analysis. It does all the heavy lifting of trying to figure out what the strokes meant. And you'll see more and more of our as we invest to make it very easy to know what the user intent was as they were going and as they were using their pen. Now, I got to get some images to place in here. Now, I can go look on my gallery and pick them all, but you know what? I'm just going to ask Cortana and ask Cortana to kind of, you know, intelligently fill this out. So we built a skill that can go and intelligently go and launch the application and tell it what to go do. Let me show you. Tell Northwind Photo to populate my collage. Let's try that one more time, since I think, you know, these demos always have a little bit of echo. Tell Northwind Photo to populate my collage. Yep, so it's going to do that. I'll say yes. And you can see here, just with my spoken word and my hands, it went, picked a bunch of photos, and filled them in for me. So this is cool. I like these photos. You know what? Actually, I don't really like the one on the left. So how about we ask Cortana to replace it? Tell Northwind Photo to swap the image on the left. I'll try that one again. A little finicky. Tell Northwind Photo to swap the image on the left. Okay, it's giving me a suggestion. Don't really like it any better, so I'll say no. See if it has a better one. Ooh, frog. My wife likes frogs. I don't really, but she loves frogs, so we're going to pick the frog. So she'll be happy with whatever I produce. So you can see here, very simple to integrate and use that skill and ask Cortana to do that. So I'm going to pop over here and show you the code that I wrote to integrate with that skill. I'm not going to show you the actual skill, but I'm going to show you how I was able to use and leverage that skill in the application. So what happens is when Cortana is asked to go connect to a skill, it launches a protocol handler here saying, okay, the skill was activated. I intercept that, very easily take the parameters that I got from my bot and pass those along to my application. And then my application goes and does all the work for me. So very easy, leveraging a skill to go and connect it directly into my application and making the experience even better. So now that I've, you know, kind of looked at the application, I kind of like my collage, it's great, I'm going to show you a feature we call Edit and Continue, where I can go change XAML directly. And let me hop over here to my XAML. And so very easily just go and change my string. I just got to find my XAML here. A bit hard in my text here. Okay, it's not my XAML. Where is my XAML? Okay, so let's go find. Here we go. Yep, just took me a second to find my XAML there. Okay, so all I have to do is I can go type approve. And you can see here, as I typed it, I didn't actually add the E. I missed it. It missed it too. Live editing in XAML, updating the text right there. Now, of course, because I had the ability to make effects, I made it cool as a little star field with the text, but directly taking my XAML and it live edits it. So as you're designing, you can see live what it looks like rather than, you know, do it, compile, and try it again. So great edit and continue feature added to XAML. And so let me hop back over to the application here. So now it's approved. I love it. I'm going to save it. So here, what we've done is we've added a toast notification that shows progress and shows updating. So it's a live toast notification that leads to a more interactive experience with your end user. They know what's happening. Rather than saying, OK, I'm just saving it. What's happening? Is it updated? I can go see it. If I want to, I can dismiss it. But the end user has the ability to watch the progress and see it completed. Let me show you how we do this with these templated toast notifications. So I'm back over here in Visual Studio. First, I want to show you what the toast looks like, because we've added some extra features there. So, you know, typical toast notifications, a bunch of XML here. But we've added these things, the parameters, title, status, progress value, and, of course, you know, a progress string that I can place as well. So these are the parameters that I want, and they'll lay out, you know, correctly inside the toast, but I'll data bind it from my code. So let me hop over to my code and show you how I use that. So first thing, of course, I do is when I exit a toast notification is I load the template. Then I create a dictionary of the initial parameters that I want, the title, the status, the progress, and the string. And that's nice. I set some default values for them. Then I go in simple boilerplate, you know, notification code, I create a new toast, and I put the toast up, and then I begin the upload. And then as I get update status, all I have to do is change the value of these strings. I don't have to have different toasts for different parts of the status. I just update these strings, they get data bound directly, and I tell them to update the toast notification, and that's it. Great experience, you know, for your user with a little bit of extra code, much more flexibility that we've added to the platform. So that's just a few of the features that we've added, how we've enhanced the experience, and a bunch of the capabilities that we've brought together in the Universal Platform. Now, part of the promise of UWP is that you can write applications that run on any Windows 10 device. Well, you know what? That also includes games, not just apps. First and foremost, the future of game development will be built on the Universal Windows platform. Amazing, high-fidelity games are already enjoying easy self-publishing through the Windows Store and have unlocked the power of visual creativity with DX12, with support from top game development tools and middleware partners, of course. Game developers ask for more choice and more opportunity. UWP delivers and is evolving to make game development faster, easier, and plain out better. The Windows Store extends the reach of any game to the largest active gaming audience available to any platform. Game development without borders across Xbox One consoles, Windows PCs, and Windows mixed reality devices. All connected through the power of Xbox Live, the largest social and multiplayer gaming ecosystem on the planet. As we'd like to say it, your game, any screen. Now, let's talk about a few key features that we've added for you, our game devs. This year, we're introducing a concept called Game Mode that optimizes system resources for the absolute best gaming experience possible. In 2016, Xbox opened up its app ecosystem to the entire Windows Store UWP marketplace. In 2017, we're doing the same for games. Windows Sonic is Microsoft's next-gen audio platform that provides a powerful, immersive sound experiences support through Dolby Atmos. Windows Sonic works across Xbox One consoles and Windows 10 PCs and scales from speakers to headphones. Intelligent Install provides an easy way for games to install bits in the right order so that players can download less to jump into the game faster. It's features like these that are only possible when you embrace a one ecosystem vision, learning and improving across the board for all developers. And when we get it right, we get it awesome.
I need to know everything they told you.
Wow, that was a great lineup of games. We've talked about the big things coming to Windows, but it's also the little things that matter. Just in the Creators Update, we've added over 1,000 new improvements all throughout the platform, and I know you'll love all of them. Now, let's look at the tools we have to build these applications and services that we've been talking about. We know that not all devs are alike. Some of you love Visual Studio. Others prefer the command line. Some of you are debugging pixel by pixel for a AAA game. We've made improvements for all of you. From loading to building solutions, Visual Studio is simply faster. Performance counts. If you need to do GPU debugging on DX12 apps, Pix for Windows brings the power that Xbox developers have enjoyed to the Windows desktop. And of course, the Windows Sub 6 for Linux has some nice improvements, including the ability to deploy and debug Linux binaries directly on Windows. We also continue our cross-platform compatibility efforts in Edge with thousands of changes and support for new APIs, from big ones like WebRTC to simple delighters like Async and Await, and even end-user features like web payments. Additionally, we're introducing WebVR, allowing developers to build Windows mixed reality experiences for the web. The Store Services APIs connect your application to store services, such as analytics, to help you improve your application's usability, the ability to run store submissions and updates automatically as part of your build scripts, and the capability to run ad campaigns for your applications. There's also an advanced SDK for things like A/B testing and targeted push notifications, so you can address groups of users or even individual users directly to advise them of new features or get them to respond to questions. Today, I'm excited to talk about two new additions to the Windows Developers Toolkit. Facebook App Install Ads has immense audience reach, and it is now available for Windows. Ads are displayed in a user's newsfeed. You can target based on interests, behaviors, and locations. And you can centralize all your campaigns across all platforms. Next, I'm excited to announce the Windows SDK for Google Analytics, which provides real-time app analytics. The core library works on UWP, Xamarin, Windows Forms, and on WPF, allowing for maximum code reuse. In conclusion, I want you to remember three key things. Your applications can fully exploit the power of the Windows desktop. You can build the most immersive, and engaging experiences with the new innovations in the Universal Windows platform. And finally, we are excited to be building the platform together with you as one community. I'd like to invite you all to get started developing for the Windows Creators Update today. Download the SDK, update your applications with new features, or build wholly new applications with wonderful new experiences. And of course, keep that feedback flooding in. Thanks very much for coming, and enjoy the rest of the day. As you can see, we still have tons to tell you about. I'll be back later to answer questions.